Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 11. When I was thinking about tonight, and I was talking with Pastor Antonio about the Revive series and just about what was on his heart, one of the things that he was really looking for was an impartation. And so they've had some speakers that have spoke life, and some different things have taken place. Last week on Sunday night, Pastor Eddie was with us, and he just took some time after church and prayed for everybody. But in the church service tonight, we are going to allow the Holy Spirit to move and do some things, like I said, that I believe that he wants to do. But when I was thinking about the impartation, a verse just popped up in my spirit. I want to read it to you tonight. And it's in Romans chapter 1, verse number 11. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Rome. Man, if you read the book of Acts, you'll find that he was struggling. He was trying to get over there. He was doing everything he could. He had shipwrecks. He had delays. He had detours. He had people fasting to kill him, all this kind of stuff. But he knew that God had called him to go to Rome. And so he writes this letter to the church at Rome, and he tells them something in verse number 11. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift so that you may be established." And he goes on to say that I'm going to get something out of it too. Our mutual faith will build each other up. But notice the heartbeat of Paul. He says, "I want to see you. I want to be with you." Why? So that I can impart some spiritual gift to you. What's he saying? He said, "I want to bless you. And the greatest blessing that I can give to you is what God wants to give." And that's where my heart is at tonight. You know, leading a Holy Spirit night, there are more qualified people on our staff to do what we're doing tonight. I'm not the Holy Spirit guy. I'm the teacher guy. You know what I mean? I'm like the book smart guy. I'm the one that takes a hard, tough concept, breaks it down, and makes it simple. I'm the pastor. I'm the one that'll love you. I'm the one that'll encourage you. I'm the shepherd. I'll help guide you to where the green pastures are and the still waters. That's me. That's the way I am. That's my spiritual gifting. And yet, I'm wise enough to realize that even though I may not be the Holy Ghost guy and the one that was, you know, had the Pentecostal background, I'm the most conservative one, you know what I mean? Came out of a very conservative background, never spoke in tongues until I came to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And it was Pastor Eddie that laid hands on me and prayed for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I started to receive those spiritual gifts and started to see what God was doing. And so tonight, even though I may not be the Holy Ghost guy, I recognize and I realize that it's not me that's going to do anything tonight. And I hope you get that. I hope you get a hold of this. You know, sometimes when we take a look at the pastors in the church or the people that stand in this pulpit, we think, you know what, it's going to be good because Pastor Dan's going to be ministering tonight. Guys, it's not good because Pastor Dan's ministering tonight. If it was all based on me, we all ought to go home because I can't do anything. I can't heal the sick. I cannot cleanse anyone. I cannot deliver anyone. I cannot save anyone. I cannot fill anyone. That's God's job. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And we are just servants. We are just, like we talked about this morning, stewards. Stewarding what God has given us. This is his church. This is his pulpit. This is his word. This is his spirit. And so tonight, I want to impart not something of myself, my wisdom, my flow, none of that. I want to impart what the Holy Spirit wants to give to you tonight. For your edification, for your benefit, we see that the impartation of this spiritual gift had a purpose. See, when he says, "so that you may be established," that word established could also be translated to be strengthened or to be built up. See, the gifts of God are given to strengthen us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, "but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." I believe that tonight you are blessed coming into the house of God. And here's the reason why, is because the gifts are going to be in operation tonight. The Holy Spirit is going to be moving and doing what he wants to do. Bible says he gives gifts severally as he wills. Not as I will, not as you will, but as He wills. And as those gifts are distributed and given, and as the impartation of the Spirit it goes out tonight, you are going to be built, you are going to be strengthened, you are going to be blessed. You may have walked in being crushed under the burden that you were carrying, but you're going to walk out standing tall because you're going to be able to handle it because God has strengthened you. You may have walked in here tonight wondering and wandering, but you're going to walk out of here with purpose and with vision and with direction. You may have walked in here tonight just kind of wondering what's going to happen. You know, they talked about the Spirit, and if you're uncomfortable, stay home, and that was kind of intriguing because I want to see something out of the ordinary. I want to see a miracle. I want to see if this supernatural God is all that He says He is. And tonight, you're going to leave knowing assuredly that God is in His house and operating on the earth today. I know it because I was a skeptic. I know it because I was taught that the gifts no longer are in operation. I heard things like that they died with the last apostle. But what I read in the Word was quite different, that the gift was for you and to your children and all who are afar off. And there were other people called apostles that weren't the 12. And there were sons and daughters that prophesied. And there was an outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh, on your men servants and on your maid servants. There was table waiters that went and had revivals. They were evangelists. They were martyrs. They did miracles and signs and wonders. Table waiters. People like you and people like me. Just a kid from Moreno Valley, grew up that loved the Lord, fell in love with Jesus and followed Him, and God decided to do something great in my life. How much more can God do in your life? See, we don't highlight the gift, but rather we highlight the God who gives the gift to bless and to build us. Tonight, the very first impartation that I believe that God wants to give is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are two separate experiences that I see in the Bible. One of them is salvation, and one of them is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You'll notice that when we pray here at the Rock Church World Outreach Center for people to receive Jesus and give God all their heart and all of their life, part of that prayer is that we say, "Fill me now with your Holy Spirit." Now, I believe that at that moment of salvation, that God makes an exchange. That you lay down your life, you surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus, and you get all of His heart and you get all of His life. And that the Spirit is given to you at that moment, that now you receive the Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of you. There are certain people who would say, "Billy Graham didn't have the Holy Spirit." Oh yes, Billy Graham did have the Holy Spirit. Look at the mighty works which he did while he was here on the earth. There are people who would say that certain conservative church leaders don't have the Holy Ghost. Yes, they do. They absolutely do. They are empowered by Him. They are filled with Him. They have the Holy Spirit. But there was something that I want to show you in the Word of God that was a separate experience that the apostles went through and that we can see disciples and men and women in the Word of God went through. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter number 20. Jesus went to the cross. He suffered. He's died. He's been buried, and now He is raised again. As He's raised again, He starts showing up in the disciples' lives. He starts speaking to them. He talks to them. He appears to Mary. He appears to Peter. He appears to the 12. The Bible tells us that at some point He appeared to 500 people all at once. In John chapter 20, verse number 22, He shows up in the midst of a locked room, and He says, "Peace be to you." I believe that He had to say, "Peace be to you," because they might have soiled their shorts if He didn't say that, right? Because somebody shows up in the midst of a locked room, especially when there's fear of the Jews. Now, all of a sudden, He's having to say, "Peace be to you." And He starts to give them some instructions, starts to tell them some things. Look what it says in John chapter 20, verse 22. "And when He had said this, He breathed on them and He said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" That's an interesting statement, isn't it? That He breathed on them. That He comes in, and when He said this, He breathed on them. I imagine Jesus probably did that, maybe not walking around to every disciple, but that as He spoke and as He breathed, that breath, the Ruach of God from Genesis, that you see in Genesis when God formed the man out of the dust and then breathed the breath of God and Adam became a living being. He breathed on him. the breath of life into his nostrils. I believe that Jesus, in the inauguration of the new covenant, now here are men being born again, that Jesus, in the same way that the Father breathed the breath of God, the breath of life into them, now here Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if that was all there was to it, there would have been no need for the book of Acts to talk to us about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There'd been no need for Jesus in Luke chapter number 24, verse number 49, to say, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. That was the Holy Spirit that he was giving to them, the breath of God. But look at what he says. And you shall be, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So they had received the breath of God. They are now born again, but there's something that Jesus says, I want you to wait for. And you can read in the book of Acts that they tarried in the city of Jerusalem. They were in prayer. They were in the upper room. And on the day of Pentecost, all of a sudden, the room is blown wide open. A wind now, not just breath, but now here comes the wind of the Spirit coming in. Tongues of fire come in and divide and rest on each one of them. And they start to speak in a language that they don't know. They run out of that place, and people all around heard the sound of the rushing wind, and they gather together to see what's going on. And each one who had been gathered was there for the feast. There was a feast at Pentecost. And because they had come from all over, they say, we hear the wonderful works of God in our own language. Somebody was speaking in the Syrophoenician language. Somebody was speaking in Greek. Someone was speaking in Hebrew. Someone was speaking all the different languages from all around. They heard these languages in their own tongue, in their own dialect, but the men that were speaking probably didn't know what they were saying. They were probably just praising God, probably just allowing their tongues to be yielded to what the Spirit was doing at that moment. And now everybody hears these wonderful works, and then Peter gets up and starts to declare to them what's going on. These guys aren't drunk. This is the gift. This was the outpouring of the power of God. This is the Holy Spirit baptism. This is the baptism of fire, which John the Baptist, after he was baptizing in water, spoke of when he said, there's one who's coming whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So what happens when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, Jesus is talking to the disciples about what's going to happen. He says, but you shall receive power. Remember he said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. Now, we know that they did that. But notice what he says, you shall receive power. There's going to be power. That word power in the original language is dunamis. It's like dynamite. It is an explosive power. It is a miracle-working power. It is a supernatural power. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you'll be witnesses. You know, after you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there is a power to witness that comes on you. The power to declare the will and the works of God. Gifts are given to you, supernatural endowments from on high. Supernatural powers come on you to speak forth the word of God. That's called prophesying. You can prophesy. You can speak the word of wisdom. There are times where the Holy Spirit will give you a word of knowledge. It might be a scripture. It might be a word. It might be a statement. It might be something that you know about something by the power of the Spirit. You can speak with a new tongue. God gives you the power of language, and he starts to give you the ability to speak. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, you find the Apostle Paul saying, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. We get a heavenly language that we get to speak to God, just us and God. It's a prayer language that's very intimate, very private, that I can talk to God about. But there are times where that's spoken out, and we need to understand what's being said so that we can benefit from it. Remember, the gift is given for the profit of all. How can someone profit if they don't know what's being said? And so another gift that's given at that time is the gift of the interpretation of what's being said of that tongue. There are gifts of healings that are given, that when you pray, you can supernaturally believe, and God starts to work miracles and heal people. The working of miracles is another one. Supernatural occurrences. I've heard of people at times where, you know, adrenaline rush and that sort of thing, and they lift a car. I believe that that's a miracle. And there are times where Christians are in situations where miracles need to take place. Raising the dead, that's not just a gift of healing, right? They got to heal whatever issue caused them to die. But to bring that soul back, that spirit back into the body, that's a miraculous working of power. And other things can take place as well. These are gifts that God gives, that he distributes, as well as unusual faith to believe God, supernatural faith that God wants to give us. See, God wants to bless his people. God wants to bless the church, and God wants us to be a witness to a lost and dying generation. the people out there in the world, they're looking at every movie, they're looking at the Avengers and the X-Men, and they're looking at all the DC superheroes and all the different things like that, and they've got their own universe, and these people are flying, and they're zapping lasers out of their eyes, and they're doing all this stuff, and they call that mighty works, when all it is computer-generated images. But what would it be like if you were on the job and you were there in the break room eating your lunch and somebody came in and said, man, my back is just killing me. And you said, would you mind if I just prayed for you for a moment? And a gift was in operation, and when you prayed for them and laid your hand on their back, the pain left them immediately just like that. What's going to happen at that moment? They're going to say, wow, your God is real. See, it's a sign to the unbeliever. What's going to happen if somebody says, I'm having a struggle, I'm having a hard time, and you say, you know what, can I pray for you? And as you're praying, God gives you a word, and all of a sudden you speak up and say to them, you know what, I believe God would have me to tell you this. This is the wisdom for your life right now. And you give them directions, and they hear the heart exposed, and they say, wow, God is truly in this place. He's among us right now. See, they are a sign for unbelievers, but they're also for the benefit. There are times where I've had people contact me, text me and say, hey, I was praying for you and God just gave me a scripture and it's the exact thing that I was dealing with at that moment. God wants to give you these gifts. God wants to bless you. He wants to impart these spiritual gifts. Now, Jesus, like we heard, is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. But the apostles gave us a pattern of the laying on of hands. Because we see that, like I talked about, one of those table waiters, Philip the evangelist, he went down to Samaria and he started to preach the gospel and the people were saved. They came out, and the whole city did. People were getting saved, people were getting baptized. And then the apostles heard about it and they went down. Now remember, they're saved. They're born again. They've got the Holy Spirit. But then the apostles show up and they lay hands on people and they baptize them in the Holy Spirit, and it's so amazing, so miraculous, so supernatural what happens that a sorcerer sees it. You can read about this in the book of Acts. He sees it and he tries to buy the gift because he wants to lay hands on people and they get the Holy Spirit. It was so amazing that people who were working with magic and sorcery and the devil's playground wanted the gift of God. That's how powerful it was. And they could see it and they could hear it. Tonight, as we lay hands on people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, sometimes things happen that are outside of the norm. Sometimes people will scream because they feel the power. Sometimes people will shake. Sometimes people will say that they felt like hot oil was poured from the top of their head or electricity was flowing through their body. Sometimes people will fall down because their body just can't hold on any longer. They just have to release to the power of God. You may see those things in here tonight. Listen, that's supernaturally natural. That's just the working of the power of God. You may hear and you may see those things tonight, and that's okay. You may experience them tonight. Allow God to touch you. Don't be so critical and so caught up in your head. Man, I was so caught up in my head when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I got one word and I was afraid to use it. And I said, it must have not worked. And so I was talking to my girlfriend at the time, Pastor Jessica, now you know her. And so we were talking and I was saying, you know, I guess it didn't work. It's all good. I'm fine. I just love the Lord. I'm good. So I hung up the phone with her and I was driving home and she prayed and she said, God, I want you to light him up so much that he doesn't even know what hit him. So I'm in my car driving through Ritchie Canyon and I'm just in love with the Lord. You know, I'm like, I've got this joy bubbling over on the inside of me. I didn't realize that, you know, it did work. And that was the Holy Ghost just giving me joy at that moment. And so I'm just praising God. I'm singing with my radio. You know, I got on Christian radio and I'm just singing and I'm praising and I'm praying. And all of a sudden I'm flowing in another tongue and I didn't even realize it. And when I got home, I called her up and I said, hey, you'll never guess what happened. She's like, oh yeah, I'll never guess. Know it all. But I'm so thankful. So thankful for the gifts. I'm so thankful that when I don't know what to pray, that I have a heavenly language, that the Spirit intercedes on my behalf. So thankful that even though I can't heal anyone, that if I will believe God, lay hands, do what God has told me to do, that I can pray for people and they'll get healed. So thankful that every time I step in this pulpit, it's not in my wisdom, but I'm prophesying the will and the counsel of God. These are the oracles of God. These are not my words. These are the words of the Holy Spirit that God wants to speak to you. You can have that all in your life. And it comes when you yield yourself and when you are immersed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What else happens? Well, God is love, right? And when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit is God. Three parts, but the same God, right? So the Holy Spirit is love too. You will get baptized, immersed in the love of God. I mean, we need the love of God, don't we? I don't want to just love people in my own strength. I want to love people in the Holy Spirit's kind of love. And so you'll have a love for people around you. And that love will flow in you and through you. You'll have that wonderful surge of power, the surge of love, and the gifts that are imparted. And tonight, there are those of you who have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to do everything decently and in order. So I'm going to invite my pastors to come up. If you are a pastor or a reverend on staff with us, I want you to come up at this time. Come on up, you guys. Marnie, you are welcome to pray with Pastor Joe. Okay, Pastor Mike, why don't you come in more in the middle here? We'll scoot down. And what I want to do is, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit tonight, like I said, this is the first impartation. Okay? I want you to just line up in the aisles. One here, one there. The ushers are going to wave you in to whoever's available. Okay? And we're just going to lay hands on you, simply, quickly. In fact, I'm going to switch it up, ushers. I know I said line up. Let's do this. Let's get a line going right across the front here, okay? And we'll allow these guys to move around a little bit, all right? So what I want you guys to do is line up one line. After we get one line, then we'll start lining up in the aisles, okay? Like I said, decently and in order, okay? And so for those of you that want that, I want you to just come and line up one line. The ushers will help you get in one line, and then after we get that one line, we'll start lining you guys up in the aisles, and then we'll call you forward as people are headed back to their seats, okay? These guys are going to pray for you. They're going to simply lay a hand on your forehead, and they're going to say, I baptize you in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Now listen, it's not about these guys' hands. It's not about what they're doing. It's about Jesus, your faith in Jesus coming. And at that point of contact, you believe that you receive the impartation of the gift by the laying on of their hands. And then Jesus comes and he baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. So you're welcome to come if you want to. Let's all stand tonight in the presence of God. All right, everybody that just got prayed for. All right, many of you guys went back to your seats. Some of you guys ran back before you really started to flow in the gift. But I want to show you something, all right? Sometimes we think that God is going to take over and grab our mouth and move it and make us, force us to speak. I remember being in Bible college and hearing about people that they couldn't speak any other language except their prayer language for like weeks, you know, and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit and they just ran upstairs and they just had to stay up there for weeks. And I thought, man, that didn't happen to me. You know what I mean? I had one word and they told me to speak it and I said it. And then they said, do it again. And I did it again. They said, keep speaking and you'll get more. And I kept speaking and I didn't get any more. And I was like, what on earth is going on? And I had to have a revelation that God isn't going to grab a hold of my mouth and speak for me. That I have to partner up with the gift. It is a vocal miracle that takes place that as you voice syllables, that God gives you language. And that he takes those babblings, those stammering lips that the Bible talks about, and he creates something beautiful out of it, and that the Spirit translates that into a prayer in heaven. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to know it. You're not going to be able to say, oh, Shandala Kotobayasha Kandabasiti. You're not going to be able to say, oh, I know what that means. I know that language. No, it's got to be a flow of the Spirit. You push air up through your lungs. You move your lips. You move your mouth. You move your tongue. And then God gets a hold of that and starts to create language out of it. That's what this is. But it is an act of your will to pray in tongues or to not pray in tongues. And I want to encourage you to pray in tongues. You want to know why? Because the Bible says building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, right? So I have, the Apostle Paul said, I will pray with the understanding, so I'll pray in English. God, bless me. Bless my family. God, would you save souls? God, would you change lives? But he says, I will also pray in the Spirit. I'll pray in tongues. And there's times that you just have to get home, get alone, close the door. Maybe you're in the car, in the shower. Maybe you're around other people, but you're just having a quiet time with God. Just it's an act of the will. He also says, I'll sing in the understanding. So we'll sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. But other times he says, I'll sing in the Spirit. There's times where you can just let the Spirit flow through you and God takes it and makes it a prayer. You know what? And sometimes you ought to ask God, what was I just praying for? God, would you give me the interpretation of my own prayer, and God will drop things in your spirit. You'll be praying for things that you never dreamt possible. I remember one time Jess said that she was praying. She said, God, what was I just praying for? That was like powerful. And he said, you were praying for nations right now. Wow, so cool. Times where I've been praying and I haven't known what to do, and I've been praying in the spirit. And I said, God, what did I just pray? And God gave me a plan. God gave me direction through that. See, you can ask God for the gifts. And in fact, the Bible says to desire the best gifts. You would prophesy, that you would speak the word and the counsel of God, that you would edify other people in the church. I asked our pastors earlier this week, and I asked some of our leaders, that if God dropped a word on the inside of them, would they let me know that God gave them a word? And I want to start this out while they're thinking maybe God's going to drop it in their spirit right now, but I'm going to give them an opportunity to come up and to either prophesy or to speak a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge that God gives them. It might be for healing. It might be for a prayer. It might be for encouragement to somebody. So I'm going to let them ponder on that and pray about that and let the Spirit speak that to them. But I had asked Pastor Deborah the same thing, and she texted me this afternoon, and she said this, and I even got Dr. Powell. He's in the translator booth. He just texted me. He's translating right now. So Dr. Powell, if you have something, text me. All right? I got my phone out here. He's translating that in Spanish right now. She says this: Hi, Dan. How wonderful to get to go to church. We need to be good to each other here at The Rock. We're all trying to see his kingdom manifest in power and anointing. And she says, I realize that this generation is not depressed, but constrained by the love of God and waiting as a bride for her wedding day to come. I believe if our people will not grow weary or allow a settled and complacent attitude to dim their passion or their hearts, that the Lord will come as a bridegroom comes to wait and marry his bride. Psalm 45, 12 through 13, so will the king desire your beauty because he is your Lord. Be submissive and receive and honor him. And O daughter of Tyre, the richest of the people shall entreat your favor with a gift. The king's daughter in the inner part of the palace is all glorious. Her clothing is inwrought with gold. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. She shall be brought to the king in raiment of needlework with the virgins, her companions that follow her. She shall be brought to you with gladness and rejoicing. Will they be brought? They will enter into the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you will make princes in the land. And I will make your name to be remembered in all the generations. Therefore shall the people praise and give you thanks forever and ever. Psalm 45, 11, 17. Let's be loved. Let's let love consume us and see him in his church. Love you. That was a word from Pastor Deborah. And so I wanted to share that with you tonight. So I'm going to ask our pastors and our leaders that I had mentioned this to. Does anybody have a word that God gave them already that you know that God speaks? Come on up. Come on up. Reverend Teresa. Any of our other pastors? Come on up. Pastor Antonio. Pastor Joe, did you have anything? No? All right. Pastor Jess, did you have anything? Yeah, come on up. Come on up. All right. Like I said, we're just going to give the Holy Spirit place. All right. Dr. Kobernick.
Many of us, as we watch the news or hear the news or read the news, get more and more depressed because it's just things are going so bad, especially in the state of California. But I'm here to tell you that God is in control. God is in charge of history. The reason that Christians are being persecuted in India is because so many Hindus are becoming believers that the Buddhists are scared. The reason so many Christians are being persecuted and oppressed in Iran is because so many people are becoming believers from Islam to Christianity in Iran. And this is happening all over the world. This is God at work. And God's going to save the Inland Empire, and God is going to save California in ways that people wouldn't have imagined. And God is going to start a revival in Southern California, maybe in San Bernardino, that's going to go east across the nation, south into Mexico, north through Oregon and Washington, and down through Canada, because God is the one who said that he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So go to sleep confident. And when you don't watch the news too much, because read the good news in the Gospels.
personal word that you're welcome to take tonight. I think it's an invitation from the Holy Spirit for you to take it personally for you. If you feel like you haven't been able to see what God is doing, and you haven't been able to hear what God is saying, that your eyes have been blinded and your ears have been stopped up, there is a promises that come from Jesus way back prophesied. And I want to read, instead of reading it out of Acts, I want to read it out of Isaiah. It says, then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The mind of the rash will know an understanding, and the stammering tongue will speak clearly and fluently. There's something that God wants to do. He wants to open ears and open eyes to His move that you can't see in your own life tonight. And I think Pastor Antonio prayed for that even before we came out tonight, that he was going to do something transformational. And I believe that God is inviting you into this moment to press into that and say, that's me, God. Make tonight a mark in my life where my eyes are now opened and my ears are now unplugged, and I can see what you're doing and hear what you're doing. That is an invitation from the Holy Spirit to you tonight, and it's your responsibility to receive it. Take a moment right now and tell Him, Lord, I receive these eyes that you created to see. Let them see what you're doing. And these ears that you created to hear, let them hear what you are saying to me, and receive that in Jesus' name.
Two words, shame and regret. Shame and regrets have paralyzed you. And for some reason, this imagery kept coming up. They've been like, you feel like you have cinder blocks on you that you can't move spiritually. Or maybe it's just in life. But I wanted to share out of the Word of God. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. In Psalms 103:12. Meaning that when God looks at us, He doesn't see our mistakes. He doesn't see the things that we regret, our shame. But He sees the righteousness of God. If you're born again, then He sees you as righteous. He sees us as righteous. So shame, break off in Jesus' name. Regrets, break off in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that we have been made righteous by your blood. We receive it now in Jesus' name. We don't have to go another day. We don't have to wake up another morning wondering if we are worthy of your love. We know that we are. In Jesus' name we pray.
Pastor Dan talked about you speak in tongues and then you interpret. So I'm going to do that. That's what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. So I'm coming for my bride, and I need you to awaken your spirit, man. I need you to step outside of yourself and step into me, because I need you. I need you to speak faith. I need you to stand in the gap. I need you to witness on the streets. I need you to get outside of your normal and step into the supernatural, because I have something for this world, and it will come out of who you are, what I'm doing inside of you. That is what I spoke in tongues. You just saw it right there. But let me tell you something. God's been stirring us. Where are my women rock girls at? On Thursday morning, He spoke a word, and it was a timely word. It was out of Ephesians. We're in Ephesians 5:13 through 16. It says, whatever the revelation light exposes, it also is, I'm sorry, it's so little. I can barely see it on my phone. Getting old here, hey. Okay, but all things that the light exposes may manifest in the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, He says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You will then walk circumspectly, that means carefully, among thorns, guys. That's what that means. Not as fools, you are not foolish people, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Listen, Rock Church. We are in a time, and we are in a time and a season. You can turn on the news and you see it. You walk into Target and you see it displayed in front of you. You walk everywhere and you see what the devil is putting out and putting out and putting out. But church, I'm here to say that God is asking us to stand up again. God is asking us to use our voices again. God is asking us to awake the giant that is within us, because we have been a sleeping giant, and we need to start linking our arms together, because God wants to do something. And I do believe that revival is going to come out of this church, out of San Bernardino, into the nations, into the other cities. It's going to pour out. I have seen it in the Spirit. It's going to pour out, and it's going to flow, and the Holy Spirit's going to move, and people are going to be healed, and God is going to do something. But it comes when people are hungry and we're ready. So Lord, we ask that you would use us. Lord, we ask for our move. God, we don't want to stay complacent. We don't want to be lethargic Christians. But God, we want more of you. Lord, move. Lord, move. Lord, move. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we are your people, called by your name. God, I thank you for every person in this place that tonight I so desired and longed to see, that I may impart some spiritual gift. And Father, though I may not lay hands on every single one of them, I pray right now, by the power of your Spirit, that you would impart a special grace, a special gift to each and every one, God. Some already received, but Father God, I pray for grace upon grace tonight, God. I pray for wave upon wave, God. Right now, fill. Right now, heal. Right now, bless. Right now, speak, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would move them in the midst of your people. Right now, Holy Spirit, do your wonderful work in the hearts, God. Impart those gifts. Impart those graces. Impart those words, God. Build up their faith, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I bless them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. They are blessed in the city. They are blessed in the field. They are blessed coming, blessed going, and everything they put their hands to, they shall prosper. And with a great big shout of faith about our inland empire, we declare that the inland empire.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.